Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime!
And before you guys get worried, our tri-host, Justin, will be here shortly.
Our tri-host.
He is in a cab on the way over. Yeah. Of course, as you guys probably know, if you've been listening to the show, if you've been here before, he recently had a kid. So, of course, he was off at doing another show before this.
Yeah, exactly. Because he has a baby now.
So. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So. But, guys, this is a very exciting night. I'm very excited to be here. This is, of course, as you guys in the audience know, the opening night of previews for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and we're here right now, live on stage. We're watching it. It's about to happen. You're about to be transported to Hogwarts.
What are you talking about?
It's the cast of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. It's the first night. It's previews. They're going to come out any second now, and they're going to perform, right, Pete?
That's a show on Broadway or something?
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, Pete.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, God.
I love how angry you are. Right now.
Yeah, I'm very angry. It's a show. It's going to be in London. It's opening. The previews are tonight. There's apparently owls going everywhere throughout the theater, live owls going crazy.
That's what I want when I go see a show, live owls.
Well, I'll see what we can do. If you guys come back next week, maybe we'll release some live owls in the theater. But instead,
Let's not.
Instead, let's have some amazing guests. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That sounds great. Our guest tonight, we're very excited to have him. He has written Wolverine. He's written Punisher.
Just say it's a ton of shit. It's a ton of shit.
In his own words, he's written a ton of shit.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Chieri!
Yeah! Welcome back. Welcome back, sir. Please have a seat. Welcome back.
Please. Come, sit down. Enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming today. Very excited to have you here. You have written a ton of shit.
A ton of shit, yes. That is correct. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things we wanted to talk to you about, normally, you know, we lean into the comedy a little bit, but something a little more serious happened, and we did want to talk to you about that. So, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, Darwin Cook passed away.
Yes. Yeah.
And you were one of his very, very good friends.
Yes.
We only knew him a little bit on the show.
Yeah, we've interviewed him a couple times, and the guy was not only hysterical, but an amazing person. His art, obviously, and his writing was amazing. We lost a true legend, but he was fantastic to talk to and to interview. He would not give you a bullshit answer.
He would tell you the truth.
He had no problem telling you how.
There was
how
no
he felt.
Bullshit in yeah, Darwin. That was a, yeah. That's what I loved about the guy. You know, he was a good guy. He really was. And it's it's a shame he's no longer with us. You know.
Well, how did you first meet him?
How did I first meet him? Okay, so the funny thing is, I met him, I think it was the second New York Comic Con.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm going to dinner with Jimmy Palmiotti, which you guys all know I'm friends with Jimmy Palmiotti, and you know, I met him through Jimmy, which it seems I meet everybody through fucking Jimmy at some point or another. So we're going to dinner, and this is right after the thing that Axel with Axel. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I'm also friends with Axel. Okay.
Yeah.
So I remember at the time they were like, this thing happened with this guy Darwin Cook, you know, in the bar, blah blah blah, and you know, if you were there, you would have kicked his ass and blah blah blah. So I'm hearing this, okay. So the next thing, you know, like I said, I'm supposed to have dinner with Jimmy. He's like, yeah, you know, and Darwin Cook is going to. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm going to be fucking rolling around with this guy, you know, before the fucking appetizers come around. You know what I mean? And Jimmy's like, I don't worry about it. You know, you guys are going to get along great. And he was right. We, you know, me and Darwin hit it off immediately. And it was really, you know, a great friendship.
No. I feel like a lot of the stories that I read recently about Darwin are almost exactly like that. Where it was like, I got into a big fight with him, and then we were hugging by the end of the
evening. Me and him never actually, you know what? Me and him, we had an understanding. You know what I mean? We're kind of very similar in many ways. We both like to drink occasionally. you know, not afraid to speak our minds. Occasionally got into a fight or two, you know what I mean? So, you know, Me and him never came to blows. There was one time there was a close thing, but cooler heads prevailed. And,
nice.
And, but, you know, like I said, I love the guy, and I really do miss him. Yeah. I do.
We, I mean, other than interviewing him, we really only know him from his work, which I think every single time something came out, it was a must read. It was part of our stack. We would always, always want to talk about it. Yeah. And I don't think we ever had anything bad to say about anything that he produced.
No,
he was brilliant. He was brilliant. You know, one of the things he used to do too, is he used to put his friends in the books. So if you look, I'm in the score.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He used to draw me with my goatee. Remember, I don't think, the last time I was on, did I have my goatee or no?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay. Nice. I had a goatee for years.
Nice.
He used to draw me with the goatee because he says I look too nice. You know what I mean? I look more like a scumbag with it. You know what I mean? Yep. So he would draw me with the goatee. So I'm in the score, and I'm also in, I think, the follow-up. I survive the score and I get killed in the next one. I get whacked in the next one. I'm also in whatchamacallit. The issue with Jimmy and Amanda getting married in Harlequin that he drew.
Oh yeah.
I'm in that one. If you look in the crowd, I'm in that one too. You know what I mean? So he used to do shit like that, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever work with him?
There's stuff that we had like in the works that we never actually, it's funny, we always talked about, he wanted to just go, me and him, do a book just so we could tour together, you know what I mean? Get drunk across America, that type of shit, you know what I mean? You know, the get fucked up tour, you know what I mean? But we had some stuff that was kind of, you know, there's something I did for DC that he did a cover for that hasn't, you know what I mean, seen the light of day yet, and there's also another thing that he was kind of involved with. It's all stuff that, you know, to stay tuned, you know, for.
Cool.
Yeah. I think the day that I heard about it, like a lot of fans, I immediately pulled out New Frontier and started reading it again.
Sure.
Was there a book of his that particularly resonated for you?
New Frontier is a great one. The Parker stuff, because I'm in it.
Yeah. Parker stuff, you know, was amazing. That's when we first interviewed him, when that was coming out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, The day he passed away, I was actually in Atlantic City, which, you know, if you know anything about our relationship, that was an apropos place. You know what I mean? I was already drunk when his wife had called me. I was already, because, you know, he was sick for a while. He was sick.
Yeah.
We knew since January he was sick. So we had seen it coming, you know, and I was already scheduled to go to this convention. I got the call from his wife, Marcia, and she just basically told me he was gone. And you know, I then promptly got more fucking drunk and went off onto the beach and basically screamed at the sky for about an hour.
Yeah. You know. Wow, man.
We were talking about this a little bit before the show, but a bunch of you got together. Was it this past weekend to say goodbye to him?
It was at MegaCon. A bunch of us were at MegaCon. We decided to have, while we were there, you know, he lived in Safety Harbor, which isn't far from there. It's about, I guess, an hour and a half. So we all drove down to, like, his favorite bar over there, and we had basically an Irish wake.
Nice.
And people flew in, you know, a bunch of his friends, Becky Cloonan, Andy Belanger, Scott Dunbeer, Dave Johnson, Tim Townsend. We you know, there was a bunch of us. It was about 30, 40 of us in this bar.
Wow.
And we got shit-faced and told Darwin stories, and it was pretty apropos. Be honest with you.
Looking forward, what do you think? What's one thing you would want people to know about Darwin that people don't know?
I would say he's probably maybe the one of them, if not the most loyal friends that I ever had. He was very loyal. You know, sometimes to a fault. I mean, he was a good guy. I mean, you know, Darwin could be Darwin, you know, at times. But I, there was a part of Darwin that, you know, that if you didn't look past that, you wouldn't get to realize he was a really good man. He really was. Yeah. He was a good guy, and he was a good friend.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I don't know.
Let's do a toast.
Yeah, let's do a toast. Well, if you're listening at home, raise a drink. If you're in the crowd, raise a drink or a hand.
Salute to that son of a bitch.
Salute to that son of a bitch. He was amazing.
He was amazing.
All right.
There we go.
Hey, buddy. Oh,
are you guys drinking? I guess I'll come out then.
Hey, show up later next time.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez.
It's not like there's a show or anything.
This is
on.
The one I show up for is the one you do, Frank. It's always
late. Cool.
I just had a kid. It's hard to get away from
you. You were in another
baby.
Show. We already
okay, that's
spoiled.
True.
Listen, I got kids too. I'm here. Yeah. What kind of excuse is that?
We all have kids.
Pete has
pizza.
I have pizza. Yeah, that I'm very close to.
Great. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
Frank. Before we move on to other stuff, you, as we mentioned, are always working on a lot of shit.
Yes.
Right now,
yes,
you
shit.
Got Harley Quinn and the Gang of Harleys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is
yes.
a very long title.
Yes. Yeah, it's like the longest, clunkiest title in the history of comics. Harley Quinn and her gang of Harleys.
Yeah, but not the longest, clunkiest comic. In fact, very good comic.
Excellent. Comic.
What's the idea right now? What's going on?
It's basically Jimmy and Amanda had created these characters for the regular Harley book. They've been part of, you know, Harley had a recruitment with a bunch of, she's created this gang with these characters, and this comic basically fleshes them out. You know, Harley tells them that, you know, you can't just be in my shadow forever. You have to kind of start doing your own thing. She has a fake kidnapping in order to get them to work together and to try to work independently. It turns into a real kidnapping when we're introduced to Harley Sin, which is basically, by the way, I came up with that name. That was you know what I mean? Harley Sin and a syndicate, you know? You know, sometimes, you know. So,
no, let's sit in it a little bit.
I just like to pat myself on the back every now and then. You know, it's a pretty clever thing.
We'll add some applause in post. So
You can add it now. Go ahead. See that post. See, we don't need the post. We get the applause now.
We got it happening here.
Get the applause.
If you're listening at home, we added that in post.
Yeah. We added. That's like a robot person clapping.
Wow.
You're not
offended.
I mean, I know you're friends with him, but what Jimmy and Amanda have done with Harley Quinn has completely transformed the character.
Yeah. Like I said, they didn't need me to come along and fuck up what they're doing. You know what I mean? They had a pretty good idea of what they were doing with the Harley Quinn universe. So I just came in and hopefully added to that and not fucking ruin things. You know what I mean? Because I think that book is doing okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and of course she's going to show up in Suicide Squad. That's the first time live action on the screen. I mean, I'm assuming you haven't seen the movie yet. Definitely seen the trailers.
I'm not John Gotti. I don't get to see. I don't get to see movies.
John Gotti.
I don't want to ruin it for you.
I don't think John Gotti gets to see a lot of stuff.
Well, he's dead now, so he ain't seeing shit.
Yeah.
But
no, before he died, they ran through the whole MCU with him.
Yeah.
He was the last guy.
Exactly.
He cleared
the
everything.
MCU? John Gotti put the
DCEU.
Huh?
You said the MCU.
Yeah, right. Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Harley Quinn as a DC character.
I know. I'm saying they ran that by him. Jeez,
Jesus
I know it's
Christ.
They ran it all by him.
All right.
You know.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear about the DC movies. You think Gotti's going to see the DC movies?
Gotti, we got an advanced cut of Aquaman.
He's actually
good.
Jesus, that's dark.
That's how it happened.
What else do you have going on, Frank? What else are you writing?
I'm writing a lot of shit that I can't talk about yet.
Okay.
I'm doing a project for DC that hasn't been announced, and you know, something else. I'm doing a book for Aftershock.
Oh, cool.
Also not announced. I'm doing, in addition to, I'm writing for Archie Comics, the Dark Circle line. I'm doing Hangman.
Yeah,
I'm also doing a book for Archie proper, which again, not announced. So I can't announce shit here. Basically,
Great.
Also a video game which I can't announce.
Let's talk about the Dark Circle. I feel like those books are so good, and they're not getting. I wish people were talking about them more. Can you talk us through Hangman? Your take on?
Hangman is, the Dark Circle stuff, it's basically their Vertigo line, you know, so there's a lot of cursing and fucking and whatnot and stuff like
selling
that.
Selling it.
Which, you know, which is not very Archie.
Yeah, exactly.
But basically, our story is the story of Mike Mineta, career scumbag. He's basically killed, and he becomes our POV character. The Hangman is kind of like the Hangman we start with is not the Hangman we end with. Okay. Mineta becomes our Hangman. He essentially has to redeem himself of what he's done by becoming the hangman, and he works directly for Satan. And the
tough
way
boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've worked for worse. Anyway. But the way I kind of present Satan, Satan is kind of like more like a, in the book of Job, he's kind of like a district attorney. So he's not good or bad.
Oh, Job Bluth, not Job for the Bible.
What? Wait, what did you just say?
Job from the Bible? Or
Job from the Bible, yeah.
Yeah.
I could read the Bible. What, am I an idiot? I mean,
No. Don't worry
the
about
The Bible
it.
Was the first comic
Job
book.
From the Bible, yes. Job from the Bible, yes. Job from the Bible. So, guys, so Job from the Bible, yeah, and what else? Because I'm incapable of reading the Bible for some reason. So, yeah.
No, he was just trying to clarify because he wasn't sure.
Yeah.
He was just wondering.
Which Job? I mean, there are a lot of Jobs out there.
Yeah, there's a ton of Jobs.
Yeah, tons of Jobs. Tons, you know, Jobs. You see Jobs. Yeah, there's like five Jobs in the audience.
Yeah, it's a big Job house. Yeah.
With Steve Jobs. Yeah, there's a lot of different.
Obviously, Steve Jobs, the number one Job. Yeah.
Nice. That was nice.
Last time we had you on the show, Frank, you were here to plug Space Punisher.
Yes, the infamous, world-renowned Space Punisher.
When are we getting Space Punisher 2?
Well, you know what? Them bastards at Marvel, you got to write them and say, hey, listen, we would like to see more Space Punisher.
Yeah, we want Space Punisher 2.
The sequel was set to be Space Wolverine, which Space Punisher would have been in there.
Oh.
But, I recommend writing these people, maybe showing up at their houses, pestering them at cons,
Hey,
we want to see more Space Punisher there.
Now, do you say it to them nicely, or do you just run out to them and go, Space Punisher?
That's the best way to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
However, whatever works.
All right.
Cool. Make it your own.
Great. Harley Quinn and her gang of Harleys is out tomorrow, right?
It is out tomorrow. Issue 3 is out tomorrow, yes.
All right. Cool.
Go buy multiple copies.
Excellent. All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, nice.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with one of the big issues that came out, Civil War 2, number one from Marvel Comics. Huge stuff happening.
Great.
Sequel to Civil War. Pete is shaking his head yes right now.
Pete is just stop. Pete, stop nodding your head yes.
Yeah. So for those of you who didn't pick it up, the basic premise is that there's this new Inhuman who could see the future and mostly sees apocalyptic visions of the future.
Okay, he's not just seeing nice stuff.
Right.
He's not
like,
seeing the next...
see ice cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's not seeing ice cream. He's seeing apocalypse.
Yeah.
And so the Avengers disagree about how to use him. Captain Marvel thinks we got to use these tips. We got to take down bad guys in advance. Iron Man says absolutely not. Leads to some death and destruction and bad stuff. Pete, why didn't you like this issue?
Because I lived the first Civil War that Marvel did. It was heartbreaking.
You lived it?
Yeah, I lived it.
Wow, what does that mean? You lived it.
I lived every page. And so when I saw a book that said Civil War 2.
There was that documentary they did about Pete where he was like, my dearest Iron Man,
I'm writing you. I'm not, sometimes you do a sequel. And you're just like, no, I don't want to do this again. It was heartbreaking enough the first time. People dying, it's just, I'm not on board. I'm not on board with Civil War 2.
With the people dying?
What?
With the characters that died, they bothered you?
In the first Civil War. Machine?
Oh, the first Civil War.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, time out. Right off the bat,
sure.
Civil War was better than Civil War II because I was involved in Civil War. Right off the bat,
it's a step down. As usual, we see eye to eye.
Exactly. It's a level below now, that I'm not involved in.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, the fact that they didn't even consult you on this is just upsetting.
Yeah, no, fuck those guys, man. Fuck Civil War II. I'm not reading it.
Fuck you, Civil War II. Fuck you.
Fuck you. Go buy my Civil War Crimes.
Yeah, exactly.
The first one with the Kingpin.
Yeah,
we've never had a guest agree with Pete. So that's really exciting on an opinion. So that was,
I wouldn't exactly say agree. That's kind of like a.
I guess I've never heard a guest say fuck as much as Pete about talking about a comic. So
are you implying
great.
That I have a foul language? Issue?
Yeah, no, I love it.
I was all right with this issue. I thought the death was a little disappointing. It happened in the issue off screen. It actually happened to the free comic book day. Issue and then came back here to confirm that, spoiler,
War Machine is dead. That's a huge bummer, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's especially weird with Captain America Civil War. Right. Like, yeah. Why is he getting beat on so much?
I don't know. Yeah. Why do people not like War Machine?
I mean, because he's a second Iron Man and he's an easy character to kill off.
I guess the thing that was disappointing to me about it is, I think it was the Zero issue. These things are so crazy out of order. The Zero issue, he sits down with the president. The president says, hey, you know what? You could be the first superhero president someday. Wouldn't that be great? And I read that and I thought, that would be great. What a great storyline. I would love to see that happen.
Yeah.
And that I know they were setting him up so that it's this, his whole future is ahead of him and he's in love and things are wonderful for War Machine and then he dies.
Yeah.
But it's disappointing because I did want to see that stuff come to fruition.
Well, I think that speaks to sort of the whole, this whole thing feels forced to me. Uh-huh. Like the whole storyline, like Captain Marvel and Iron Man seem like characters that, like, I feel like the first Civil War worked because Steve Rogers is such a, he has a purity of thought. And he's like, I am this. He's such a Boy Scout. And so he would not change his mind. Iron Man, he's like, oh, this guy? Why is he taking such a harsh stance on this one Inhuman dude? Who he's like, oh, we can't talk to this guy.
But they have that winky moment in the middle where Steve starts to disagree and Iron Man's like, don't disagree with me. That always goes badly.
Exactly. All that stuff. I'm like, this is too cute. It feels forced. The deaths felt forced.
Just reading it, I was just like, ah, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's like,
here these characters go again.
Jesus Christ. We got to live through this shit again.
What is this living you're doing? You keep talking about
living. Dude, I think you're a little bit too involved.
Books.
I mean, you know, take a fucking step back. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get a fucking life. It's only comics.
It's not just comics, Frank.
Yeah.
I know, what are you running around with a fucking Iron Man mask? Like, you know, chill out, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
All right.
Seriously.
Which side are you on in Civil War 2? If you had to choose.
The no Civil War side.
No, but if you had to choose, are you going to take the hint, the clue, like Captain Marvel?
Did not pick up this book. Zelda made me read it, so I'm not on
the side.
That
doesn't have any bearing on the issue. Only makes you sound weirder because you're like, I'm living this comic. He made me read it 1 minute ago.
It's not 1 minute ago. It was like a half an hour ago.
Okay, cool.
You showed up
one minute ago. Really then let it absorb into your body, and you're feeling all the feels. So which side would you be on?
I'm not on a fucking side.
What are you then? What are you living so hard?
Civil War.
Wow, what a life. What about you?
I don't choose it. No, I choose Captain Marvel. I don't care if people die. If you have a chance to stop bad guys in the future, of course you take that. It's a stupid debate. And it's stupid for Iron Man, who is a futurist. And they point that out at the issue, like, but you're a futurist. And he's like, shut up!
Yeah.
That he wouldn't be like, yeah, great, let's take as many tips as possible to stop these horrific disasters that keep happening. There's no reason not to take that. What about you? What side are you on?
Well, I feel like they go and hassle Thanos. Like, this Inhuman is having these
visions.
Yeah, but that's,
there's a big difference between seeing the future and then being jerks.
What if I said right now, guys, I just saw the future. We have to go. We have to bring Frank with us.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And we're going to go.
Am I getting paid? Time out. Am I getting paid?
In the vision, you get paid.
Okay.
In the vision, you get paid. Then I'll come.
Yeah, I agree.
We have to go rob this bank. I had a vision. It has to happen or the world's in trouble. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Wait, time out. What's the split?
Huh?
What's the split? Yeah.
Well, obviously, I mean, we're not going to go four way. I had the vision, first off.
Oh, what?
And Frank, you're new to the squad.
I'm a big part of the equation.
It's four out of ways all of
us. Out of all of us, who do you think's got more experience robbing banks?
I know.
Okay? Let's be honest.
That makes you a liability.
Let's be honest.
That makes you a liability. The cops are going to be like, Frank's there? Oh,
I'm calling crowd control. I'm calling that right now. I want to be crowd control.
What are you, crowd control?
When you're robbing a bank, someone's going to be watching crowd, making sure nobody's trying to be a hero.
There's no crowd control. It's your driver. You're the driver.
I'm not the driver.
We also need somebody to pin it on. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So
obviously,
we need a pansy to pin
it on. You wouldn't believe the stuff we blame on him internally.
Yeah, we need somebody to leave behind, you know, to take the rap. I'm not saying anybody in particular, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Just what do you mean?
A leave behind. So then we'll do it three ways.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think that's covered Civil War 2, number one. Let's move on with some other picks real quick. Pete, huge shocking pick. I can't believe you picked this week. Punisher number 2. You
number
like that?
Number 2.
It's amazing.
You like that?
Check it out, guys. Yeah, Punisher number 2.
So you're sticking with it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hanging with it. Yeah. It's a great issue. First issue was good. Really kind of set up this new villain. Second issue, we kind of really get into it. A lot of sweet action and bullets. It's a good, fantastic issue. I think the new writer, Brecky, she's killing it.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
And yeah. keep in mind, Becky's a friend of mine, so let's keep the comments nice.
Oh, shit.
I have nothing but great things to say about
her. I think she's doing a great job. She actually... You know, we were just down there for the Darwin thing, and she told me a lot of the things that she's got planned, and I think fans are going to be happy.
Well, cool. Then, sell me. I want a new Punisher. I want a new take on the Punisher. Is she pushing it in a new? Because I read this issue and I was like, I want more different things to happen with the Punisher.
Why?
Because I've seen enough
of
him
just
shooting.
Appreciate the Punisher.
Because I've seen it. I'm Daredevil.
The Punisher is going to kill a lot of people in the books. Beautiful. Okay? That's basically how it works.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, she's going to be doing some of that.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Did that sell you?
Yeah. Really sold me on it. Great.
And Steve too is a good friend of mine, so don't be bashing Steve.
Jeez, well, I guess
I will say I was equally mixed on the first issue for kind of the same reason, where I thought, yeah, this is good, but I wanted to see something more.
Yeah.
This issue, for whatever reason, I liked more. I felt like the action was bigger.
Yep.
We got the Punisher, you know, he's already in it versus teasing that he's in the first issue. Mm-hmm. So it felt like a good, solid, classic Punisher story.
Yeah. See, I just want to see him, like, in a different environment, like space or, like, somewhere.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Now we're on the same page.
Oh, now you want to get on board.
You're singing my song now.
All right, let's move on with your pick, Batman Rebirth, number one.
Yes.
DC Comics.
Obviously, Batman, the whole Rebirth thing, I don't know how we are all feeling about that in general.
Reborn.
Or you're reborn, great. You were also rebirthed in this? Congratulations.
Yep.
Reborn. This book, though, Tom King is taking over the main Batman title, and... very much excited about it. It's in this Batman faces Calendar Man. We have a new Robin in the mix in sort of a different role. Yeah. The Calendar Man stuff, it's a little bit more super villain-y than Batman, the Scott Snyder Batman we've seen. Really loved it.
Yeah. I thought it was a good, solid Batman issue, and I agree with you. Tom King has been killing it on almost every single title lately, so that's very exciting. The thing with Calendar Man, so Calendar Man has never made a lot of sense to me as a villain. He's just a guy who likes dates a lot.
I feel like he's a villain that was written by someone like, fuck, I need a villain right now. Calendar Man. He just pointed at something on his wall.
In this issue, they add a twist where he actually ages over the course of the seasons.
Yeah.
So he gets older by winter, and then in spring, he molts and pushes out of his body and leaves his skin behind.
Yeah, it's cool.
And it's super creepy and gross.
Yeah, really creepy.
And feels a lot more like a classic Batman villain. I really enjoyed it a lot.
Great.
There you go.
Pete?
Yeah, I'm on board. I mean, so far so good.
Thanks for that insight, Pete.
Wow, Frank turned against you.
I'll tell you what, Frank, your cut just went way up.
My there cut's always
all right. Last one. This is my pick, Deadly Class, number 21 from Image Comics. I don't know if you guys have been reading this title. So Rick Remender, I'm totally forgetting who's on art. Anybody?
I don't read this.
Correct.
Wes Craig,
on Earth. Thank you very much, anonymous person. I do not know.
That's an applause robot.
Yes.
She does more than just applause.
Yeah, there we go. This title has been fantastic. If you don't know the basic idea, it's a bunch of people go to a school for assassins and things immediately go wrong. It's set in the 80s, so Rick Remender was playing a lot off of 80s movies tropes, but it's grown far beyond that. In the last five issues have all been their finals, which is everybody trying to kill each other. And it's really brought to fruition what the title should have been and could have been the entire time. This, as far as I can tell, did you guys read this?
Yeah.
Okay. As far as I can tell, it's the last issue, which kind of came over out of nowhere for me. It was very surprising. So all of these heartbreaking deaths and endings were shocking and saddening. The art is gorgeous throughout the issue. There's some incredible, incredible uses of color and splash pages and characters falling through the panels that I don't think I've ever seen before. Obviously, don't start with this issue, but go back, read the series now that it's finite.
Yeah.
I think it's ending, and it's great.
Speaking of last issues, I can't believe Pete, Hellboy ended.
Yeah,
you didn't want to talk about that. You want to talk about Civil War, too.
Well, first... Hold on, late guy. First, I would like to just point out that this is a really fucked up book that Zelvin likes. Like a really fucked up book.
That's his thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of kids who have these horrible backstories that you got to kind of live, if you will, with them. Uh-huh. And then
we will not.
And then just when you really start to pull for somebody, murdered right in front of you. And what? It's just like
right in front of you.
It's really just it's a tough read. But it is really well done.
Are you running some sort of like wishbone thing where you pour it into the books?
That's right. Yeah.
You dropping some wishbone knowledge on us right now? Yeah. Cool, dude. Wishbone fans.
So, yeah, it's a fucked up book, but it's really well done. So, yes. You wanted to talk about Hellboy. It was a little weird to me, the ending. I thought it was a long time coming. I know he wanted to tell the story for a really long time. But the last issue was just kind of like a send-off that was just, I don't know, like I had very mixed emotions about it.
Yeah. He felt like a high school senior who's like, I'm pretty much done.
Yeah.
He's like, I already got into college. And yeah. College for Mike Mignola is he's going to be a painter now. Did you see that? Anybody? Yeah. He's going to paint stuff. Like,
he is.
Like just pictures.
Yeah.
But, like Bob Ross.
Huh? Yeah, like Bob Ross. Ross. Like except Bob not Ross. As calming, I think.
Yeah. Okay, now here's a pretty little hell over here.
So I agree with you. I was sort of, it was a very sparse send-off.
Yeah, where, I was like, this is it?
Where
yeah.
But
he's going to be back, right?
I mean, maybe in a while.
Painting for a little while, and while he's getting totally bored painting shit, he'll be like, oh, what about this Hellboy story? All right, fine, I'll do that.
I bet it'll be a while. I agree with you, it'll come back eventually, but I think this is the end of Hellboy's story, as it were. Like, I feel like this is the intended end, and he'll come back and do something else.
I give him 6 months.
Really?
Absolutely not.
All right, that's it for the stack. Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to come out to you guys. It could be questions for absolutely anybody. If you have a question for our amazing guest, Frank, please ask
amazing,
that.
Amazing, yes.
If it's a question for the panel, that's great, too. And you will get some free comics and posters from modhero.com.
That's nice. Right.
Very cool. All right. Yay. Thanks for coming. You, sir, I saw your hand go up first. All right. What is your name and what is your question?
My name is Nick, and my question is, what do you guys think about the canonization of Watchmen in Rebirth?
Ah. Interesting question.
I thought for a second you said canonization,
yeah,
which is a very different thing.
They got a bunch of accents. The comedian is now the Canadian.
Yep.
I don't know. I think it bothers me much less than many other people. I feel like... Even though, like, what everyone's mad about it because of they're like a sacred cow. For anyone who's mad about like the Alan Moore side of it, it's like, well, he's mad already. So, like, how much madder are you worried about him getting? And then, as far as the characters go, I think it's fine to bring back Dr. Manhattan. The seeing when Batman found the comedian pin,
right.
That's when I was like, I don't know about that. That feels weird to me, but all the rest, fine with it.
All the rest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not, I wasn't like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I was more like, all right. But I don't know. I didn't immediately hate it. I wasn't immediately like, fuck this. So that's got some promise. But yeah, not super pumped, kind of tiptoeing towards it.
I don't know how old everybody is, but if you guys remember when the Ultraverse was Marvel bought those characters, the Malibu line with a lot of writers who ended up being working a lot got their start there with comics like Hard Case and all these other ones. They started bringing Marvel characters into their universe, and there's something about it that just never... It felt weird. Like, Black Knight ended up in with all their characters. And always like...
Juggernaut, I remember.
Yeah, it was always, like, uncomfortable. It's like, these people aren't friends. Why are they hanging out? And so that's what it feels like a little bit from a storytelling perspective. It feels a little... Dr. Manhattan makes sense because he is so powerful he could, like, maybe cross universe. But when he got just, like, Rorschach being like, hey, Batman, what up? Or whatever.
Here's what I will say. I will kill everybody in this room to write Rorschach.
Cool off.
I'm just putting that out there, so, you know.
It's a weird starting point.
Just saying.
Is that your pitch to DC? Is that how you're going to...
That's my pitch to DC, yes. Yeah. I'm going to murder everybody in Comic Book Live if you don't let me write this book. So, yeah, but So
wait,
yeah, Rorschach.
Which book? Which book did you want to write?
Rorschach.
Rorschach. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I could see it as solo stories, like Before Watchmen, all that. Like that that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, like anything, I think you got to see how the story pans out more than anything. You know, a good story is a good story, and that'll overcome anything. I do agree with you. My reading of Watchmen was always that the only one with any sort of superpowers whatsoever was Dr. Manhattan. That everybody else was, relatively speaking, just regular humans. They just worked out a lot, and that was pretty much it. So when you got to the
I don't remember the workout scenes in the comic. Were they?
That was my fan stuff.
Like Rocky montage scenes. Yeah,
but when you got to the movie and they were punching through walls when they were fighting or stuff, that never made sense to me. That never sat right to me. I even felt that the smartest man in the world was really just like a really smart guy. He wasn't like super intelligent or anything. So to take them and throw them into the DC universe almost feels like, other than Dr. Manhattan, they're immediately overpowered. That it doesn't make sense. They might as well just be regular vigilantes not doing much. And then the other part, I know that they were analogs for, I'm forgetting the name of the universe, the Blue Beetle and Charlton comics.
Yeah, sure.
They were analogs for the Charlton comics, but a lot of the DC comics borrowed from the Charlton comics and back and forth.
Yeah.
So when you're reading Watchmen, it already felt like, well, most of those characters are kind of already there. So it feels like doubles a little bit.
Here's what I would pitch. I would make them, I mean, the whole thing with Rebirth is legacies coming back. Make them all like Justice Society level characters that maybe have died or have aged or whatever, and then we can see a new version of them.
Well, if you've seen the theories that they've been in the DC universe for a good long while now.
Just chill it out.
Well, so a couple of years ago, they introduced a new question, but you never saw his face, just that he had red hair, right? And that his face was covered, just like Rorschach. And he hasn't really showed up again. And then you have the two new characters. There's a blonde lady and a brown-haired guy who are in Gotham and working together. People kind of think that they're maybe, oh my God, what's his name?
You're basing a lot of this on their hair color, which I don't know if you know, but a lot of people have.
To be fair, there was an
entire
Batman series that was based on the fact that all the Robins have the same hair color and people accidentally draw them the same. So
that's true. So okay, good point.
Thank you very much. Tip of the hat to myself.
It's a strong clue.
There we go. Anyway, we'll have to see what happens. But you're going to get some free comics and a poster, that's for sure. Let's get the next question.
Whoop.
You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name's Destiny. For Civil War II, I kind of feel like they're clearly setting up Captain Marvel's side as the bad guy side. Like we all saw Minority Report. Tony Stark does point out that these are only possible futures, and like you can't really arrest somebody for something they might do. So I was wondering what you were thinking of that, and I'd also like Pete to pick a side.
Yeah, that's a follow-up question.
Yeah, there we go. You're legally required if two people ask.
Okay, you can think about it for a second.
Yeah, Pete's some sort of like magical troll, right? If people ask him twice, he has to answer correctly.
He often does, so
yeah, that is true. I agree with you that they do seem to be setting up Captain Marvel's side as the bad guy side, but at the same time, so far the predictions, like, it's not like they're like, go arrest this random guy who hasn't done anything yet. They're like, what if you take down Thanos, who is building a machine that's going to destroy the world? That's not too far off as predictions go.
That is issue one, though. You don't think there's going to be a hero who's the culprit of... I mean, that's what I think they're clearly setting up, is Captain Marvel's going to have to fight perhaps Iron Man, who is specifically implicated by this Inhuman in some sort of disaster.
Right. And he's probably going to cause that disaster.
That's... Now we're storytelling. Pete, did you pick a side yet?
It was an interesting point that I thought was that this is just a possible future. It's a lot to kind of put on something that may be happening. I mean, yeah, he was right about the kind of attack that happened in the issue. Like you said with Minority Report, like you can't just show up at a bad guy's house and be like, fuck you, you're bad.
Except in Minority Report, weren't they totally right until somebody manipulated them?
Right.
Wow, you're really going all the way on
that. Big Minority Report fan.
The guy looked pretty manipulative. You know, like he was, he didn't seem like he kind of really knew what was going on. He was kind of like, pretty kind of,
Are you reviewing Minority Report right now?
No, I'm talking about in the comic, the guy who can see the future.
All right, but real quick, what's your favorite part of Minority Report?
Well, I like that the balls that come down are carved out of wood.
Oh,
that's
pretty cool,
right?
Yeah.
That's
I like the milk bath. It just seems so comfy.
I liked the kind of swipe screen thing that was going on.
Great. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. No, I think the question was if Pete would pick a side.
Yeah, no, I mean, just because somebody says something doesn't mean I have to do it.
Wow. So you're just going to mumble about the question until we move on?
That's right.
Great. Well,
great question. let's get another question. You're going to get some free comics, sir. Anybody? Question? Yes, you, sir. What's your name? What's your question?
Hello, it's Louis.
What's up, Louis?
Just last week was the anniversary of Kung Fury, and they announced Kung Fury 2 as a feature movie. Just thoughts on that?
Nice.
Yeah. Kung Fury?
Yeah.
Pete, that seems like your sort of movie.
What the fuck is Kung Fury?
Let me just break down the content. I think it's a kung fu movie.
It
gets pretty
shocking.
Crazy.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know this?
No,
you
I don't.
Oh, you don't. You?
Sure.
Why not? We don't have to be knowledgeable about everything.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, great.
No, it's a movie, and actually it's just celebrating its 20th anniversary, and they're going to be releasing a sequel. No? No? Isn't that what you just said? First anniversary. Of the release.
Yeah, he knows a lot about Kung Fury. Yeah, it's his favorite movie. Yeah.
So just real quick, not only do I not know what Kung Fury is, I definitely wasn't listening to your question. Great. Yeah.
Well, you're wrong in so many ways. I don't know it either, but hey, that sounds cool.
Wait, hold on. What are you saying, Larry?
A time-traveling cop that goes back in time to fight Hitler, who is a kung fu master called Kung Fuhrer.
Kung Fuhrer. Wow. I feel like a lot of this movie was written with F-U at the beginning of
Nice.
Very good. We're all very excited about it.
Yeah,
you're going to get some free comics.
Thrilled. Can't wait.
You, over there, you have a question. What's your name? What's your question?
My name's Shannon, and I was curious. I don't know how Frank got started in comics. I would love to know.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is, I know Shannon. I didn't realize that was her sitting there, because it's like I'm being interrogated by the lights over here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're on stage, Frank.
How I got started in comics, I was actually an intern for Marvel. I started as an intern way back for Bob Harris when he was editor-in-chief. And eventually I got to work on staff at Marvel. I worked for, I did various things, and then I started working for Marvel.com. I was an editor and their head writer. All the while I was pitching shit. Because I write shit, so I was pitching shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So, first thing I got to, Joe Quesada had asked me to write, co-write Iron Man with him because he needed a co-writer because he had, you know, like something called Marvel Knights going on, so he was kind of busy. So I did that, and after that I got Wolverine, and the rest is history, as they say.
Cool. All right. Very cool. Awesome. You're going to get some free comics and a free poster. And that's it.
Don't
for your
give her anything. Give her.
No, I'll give her.
Give her
nothing.
Wow.
All right. That's it for your audience questions. All right, guys. Real quick, we're going to go to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. Hooray.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, there we go. Nice and nice. So in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some TV news, TV and movie topics. Very quick thing that happened this week. Very exciting. I think very exciting. Superman is going to show up on the first two episodes of Supergirl.
Yeah.
In the next season on the
CW. I don't know why that's... Superman has been in the series... he showed up numerous times in Supergirl.
He did not show up.
Yeah, his boot was there.
His
and then they
were there.
Showed like a wide shot, and you saw a cape, and then like he would, G-chat with her.
That's not showing up,
Pete. Yeah, so like
that's
he's
enough.
Already been in
that's
the
enough
show.
For you?
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I mean, they just like have his hand or something
like
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Pete. Next show, just bring your shoes and your shirt.
Yeah, okay.
And then
they're
leave. Kinda,
they're already there.
That'll get.
I think it'll be an improvement, actually.
Oh,
loving it.
Wow, you guys are forgetting that.
You look forward to that. Justin?
I don't really watch Supergirl, but yeah, sure.
What? Dude, Supergirl's awesome.
I know. Here's what's confusing
you
to me.
Dick.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not watching Supergirl?
I don't know. What? There's a million.
It's like he was. He said what I was thinking. It was an awesome moment.
I know, you guys have a real love connection.
Later, we'll talk later.
Yeah. Who's Superman going to be?
We don't know yet.
We're going to see so many Supermans. Aren't we going to get confused?
No.
Okay, great.
Wait, who do you want to see as Superman? Who do you want to see as Superman on the small screen? Frank, do you have a pick?
How the fuck should I know? Yeah. I don't know. Who would make a good Superman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Get the guy from the movie. He's all right.
Yeah. Henry Cavill. He's probably not that busy, so there you go. Yeah.
They're not making a Superman.
I will say, a friend of mine, Albert Ching, who's one of the editors at CBR, put out today, he said, this would be a great chance to have a minority Superman, that there's no reason not to have that on TV. What do you guys think about that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I would be curious. I wonder if that's something everyone flipped out so hard on Spider-Man. I feel like the reaction would be similar for
you
Superman.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't think people would be like, we're enlightened now, we get it?
Yeah.
We're all good.
Maybe they learned a lesson.
You're like, oh, we learned from Spider-Man. This is totally cool.
All right. Cool. Another thing. Out this weekend, TMNT2 Out of the Shadows. More like it was in the shadows at the box office.
Oh,
wow.
Shade.
Look at Mr.
Shade.
Snarky over here.
He's literally throwing shade.
I mean, come on. Snark alert.
Yeah. Oh, boy. but Pete, you saw it. You're a big fan of Rocksteady, Bebop, and Krang.
Yeah, I mean, Krang was in a movie. I had to go.
Nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what do you... I mean, I know how much you loved the first Turtles movie of the most recent batch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't love it. But I went and saw that, too.
Yeah.
Also, my boy Arrow was as Casey Jones, and
he has an actual name.
Not in Pete's world.
Yeah. And in the Eastman and Laird's series, Casey Jones was one of my favorites, so I also had to go for that.
So tell us what you thought.
It was a movie, and Krang was in it, which was geekily hilarious, but it was not that great.
Why? Because all the stuff from the cartoon that I grew up on is in it.
Yeah, it's in it. I mean,
so
Rocksteady
awesome.
Bebop is
the van.
The van was in it. Rocksteady Bebop. They even had the Technodrome, which
that
made me laugh.
Crazy.
Hold on. Did they have pizza in it?
Yep.
Great. That's another thing.
Yeah.
I love pizza.
So and what was the problem? That's all
Carmelo
fun.
Anthony was also in it. I mean, it was... There was a lot of stuff that was like, oh, me as a kid would be so happy to be seeing this on the screen. But then just the kind of... the problem was they were fighting again like they did in the last movie where it was like, why can't we just get along and kick ass?
The Turtles.
But it was always like, goddamn Leo and Raph every time, you know? Every time.
Those guys just don't get along.
Yeah, why do we have to live through this?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they're only friends because they're Teenage Mutant and Ninja.
Right.
And Turtles.
Good review, Pete. Let's move on to a second episode of Preacher aired this week.
Yeah!
That's exciting. Woo-hoo! So, Frank.
Yes.
You're a fan of Preacher, right? I know you didn't see the second episode. You saw the first episode.
I saw the first with Garth Ennis.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah, I'm a big shot here. You know what I mean? I know some fucking important people.
All right. Yeah. How'd you feel about it? I mean, there were some changes.
I not just because I watched it with Garth, but I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. I think fans are going to love eventually where it goes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not exactly like the book, but Game of Thrones isn't, Walking Dead isn't, I think fans just have to accept that.
And it seems like they are, though. Like, I feel like of so many things that have been adapted that if there are changes, people lose their minds a little bit. This, people seem to be like, oh, on board more and more.
I love the series. I really like what they're doing with this. It's different, but I'm completely on board, and I love the first two episodes.
To me, it feels like the MCU approach to it, where you have the Marvel films are not exactly the comic book, but they capture the tone.
The essence.
They
capture the feel of it. Yeah, and I think it does that.
Yeah, and it gets the sense of it anyway.
And streamlines it for storytelling effect, not just to be like, I think this should be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if you didn't watch the second episode, there's a chainsaw scene in it.
Oh my God.
It was so insane and over the top. It was fantastic. We won't spoil it for you.
It was such
a... It's a chainsaw scene.
Yeah, it's a chainsaw.
So amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So amazing.
Cool.
And just when you think it's over, you're like, you relax. Nope.
Well, you should never relax around a chainsaw.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's a good point. That's a little chainsaw safety.
Outcast premiered this week as well.
Yeah.
You watched it, right?
I did watch that. I really liked it. I like the book, the Robert Kirkman
book. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What did you think of the book?
Really love the comic. And so the series is on Cinemax. And it's
which you had a subscription to anyway.
Always, and apparently there's other movies on before 1 a.m. That you can watch. Just kidding,
I don't remember that.
Big surprise, you don't remember that, well, tune in earlier and you'll see this show about a comic book.
Okay.
It's really nice. It's well shot. It's the actors are right. What
did you? Because when I was watching it, I was kind of like, all right, Kirkman, we get it. Because it was literally on the screen. It was like based on the comic book by Robert Kirkman, written and directed by Robert Kirkman. Also did the lights. It was like, wait, Kirkman, you could just put your name up once and then kind of list all the things. It was like it was almost like a bit at one point where
I was
like,
I've never heard anyone
stunt double Robert Kirkman. It was like, all right, dude,
not a great stunt double. I've never heard anyone say that Robert Kirkman's an egomaniac. So it's exciting to hear.
I think Robert Kirkman's amazing. I think
he's
his writing
good
is unbelievable. Like, I just felt like maybe a couple less.
Listen, if they ever make something I did on television, it'd be constantly Frank Thierry, Frank Thierry on the screen the whole fucking time.
The characters would be saying Frank
Thierry. There would just be a guy looking in the camera and be like, hey, sure, Frank Thierry did this?
Frank Thierry, the whole fucking time. So. Give the guy a break.
So you get it,
Yes, I get it, yes.
Well, I got to say, I love the comic.
Yeah.
But seeing a kind of a horror comic then transferred to something like Cinemax, it was too intense. Like
It was too intense. I've never heard you say that.
I was like, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so great. I sat down, and then the fucking first scene... And I was like, nope.
Are you serious?
I was like, no way.
If that's not starting, no. If that's not an endorsement of something to go watch.
That makes me want to watch it.
Exactly. It's too fucked up for Pete.
I couldn't do it.
That
was so fucked up.
Yes, it was good.
It was so fucked up. And they made it think like one thing was happening that,
Watch Preacher and you're like, just the right amount.
Oh, I love Preacher,
But this is too fucked up.
This is too fucked up.
Watch this show. I thought it was great, and it was intense.
All right. Amazing. That's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It's time for our next section, which is trivia. For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LaPie.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. I'll see you later. It's an opportunity to win $25 free.
A whopping $25. Wow, you guys got some budget here.
It's a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. We do the show every Tuesday. Okay, $25.
You see it $25 on the ground, you walk past it?
No. No, I'm not walking past it.
Who would like $25 free, which might not be a ton of money, but it still can buy a bunch of comics? Yes, you, please come on down. Can I borrow
just my shit.
What is your name?
Tina.
Tina, audience Tina. All right, Tina, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, and then you will probably win this gift card. I'm so confident.
Did you just
I'll let you hold
the
gift card? She's getting the card.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
Right.
Today's trivia is on our hero, our favorite here, Darwin Cook. So here we go. Some questions on the man. All right, Darwin Cook has won many awards, including 2 Harvey Awards, and how many Joe Shuster Awards? Is it A3, B2, or C, not enough? So I'll either accept A or C. Which
Definitely
one?
Definitely A and C.
That is correct, yes. They're both correct. So he was a storyboard artist on Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, and the main title design for blank. Was it A, Teen Titans, B, Batman Beyond, or was it C, Curb Your Enthusiasm?
B.
You can go with Frank, which is correct. B.
B.
B, yes, yeah.
All right, could you have the card now?
All right.
Thanks, Frank. Do you want to share?
Last one. He drew many amazing things. Which comic did he not work on? Was it A, Catwoman, B, New Frontier, C, The Spirit, or D, Wolverine and Dupe, or was it E, every fucking one of them and more?
Okay.
E.
He is correct.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go
$25. Right. $3. Congratulations.
Amazing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I've never seen an E.
There was. It's never gone that far before.
That was a
but
first.
I had to mention the Wolverine and Dupe. That was his
very
art
good.
On that was just so amazing.
Good, yeah.
It was so amazing.
Great. Speaking of great stuff, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to Headlopper number 4, as well as checking out Wonder Woman Rebirth.
Nice.
Great. Yeah. Any reasons for either of those?
Well, Headlopper, just as it sounds, is just a fantastic. It's like really smart comic. It's like
it's not too intense for you?
No. It's just the perfect amount of headlopping.
Are you too scared?
Yeah. No, I'm not too scared.
Okay. I feel like you're the kind of guy though. You get to a scene that's too scary, and you'll put the comic book in a drawer.
I shut off my flashlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I have underneath.
Because you read them in bed late at night.
Justin, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Flash Rebirth number 1, actually.
Yeah.
Excited. That looks really cool. And
I will say, Jeff John said that if there's one Rebirth book you read, it's got to be Flash number 1.
Yeah, it looks art looks amazing, and I'm excited to see what they do with Flash. And Birthright number 16, great book.
Yeah, Joshua Williamson kind of day for you.
Exactly.
There you go. I'm looking forward to The Fix number 3 is coming out from Image Comics. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have been reading this book from Nick Spencer. It is so good and so funny. If you're a fan of Superior Foes of Spider-Man, it's a follow-up of that, but set in the real world about this crooked cop who keeps making things worse and worse for absolutely everybody around him. It's really funny, really fun, really twisty, very original. I'm really enjoying it a lot. And Frank, plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
I am looking forward to Harley Quinn and the Gang of Harley. None of you motherfuckers said.
We knew you were going to pick it.
Fuck you guys. I ain't doing the show no more. Fuck you motherfuckers. That's it. I'm out. That's
you
it.
Say
the last
that,
time I'm on
you
the
say
show.
That every time you're here, Frank. You
no,
say
I
every
mean
time.
It this time. Fuck you guys.
Oh, man. Jesus.
Well, you did threaten to murder us all, so I think it's understandable.
Yeah, by the way, if you are listening to this podcast, please check for all of us after you're done.
That Frank did not kill us.
Just that we're alive.
To Rorschach for
There we go. A couple of things before we go. The show is free to see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do if you're here in the theater. If you would like to throw a couple of dollars in the hat over there, that would be great. Otherwise, we also have a virtual hat at GoFundMe.com/comicbookclublive where you can donate. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tabardar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Tran, and in the audience, Louis DC.
Yeah!
We want to thank Frank for being on the show.
Yeah!
Boothman Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. in New York. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good day.
Good
Thanks,
guys,
everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming out.